Oh, praise God. Well, you know, we're here. Spirit of the Lord's here. We're going to profit from being here. And I'll tell you what. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing when everything's going good. You know, and you say, well, I don't need this and I don't need that. And then, there's a, oh, Pastor, I need help. Oh, you mean you need help since the last time you was here last month? And then what you do, you go and help them. You do what you can. But you know that it's not going to change. Not going to change until they change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, glorify yourself tonight. Exalt yourself, Lord God, in our eyes as we choose to worship you. And as we choose, Lord God, to hear your word and to be inspired by it, to be lifted up, be challenged and encouraged. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we talked this morning about coming, the invitation, coming and drinking of the water, talked about rivers. And you know, I believe it is, it's in Psalm 48. It says, there is a river whose springs thereof make glad. And I guess that a long time ago amongst the gospel writers, that inspired them to write the song, there is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Well, you know, the thing about it is, we need to get a perspective of what's going on here with this river. We need to get a perspective of where the river started. We need to get a perspective of where the river's going. And we need to get a perspective of what's happening while the river's flowing. Have you ever noticed, except in the beginning, except in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, except there, I don't know of another great move of God that didn't involve people. Every time God does something, people are involved. And we need to decide for ourselves what kind of involvement we're going to have. And I want us to look tonight at the story in Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. And you know, as you sit and you read things you relate them to other things that you've read. How many of you got an understanding that in the Scriptures, when you read a Scripture, don't read it like it's the only one in there. Read it like it relates to the rest of the Scripture. And then you'll find a lot of interesting things. It says in Ezekiel 47, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Now let's get a picture of that. And what I want to do is to try to give a picture of what's here, to give us a picture of how we're involved. and to give us a picture of what God sees and of what God is doing with each and every one of us. Now, when it says He brought me back to the door of the temple, or the door of the house. Do you know what the Scripture says in the New Testament? Scripture says in the New Testament that we are temples of God. Paul says in Corinthians that we are God's house. He's talking about us as believers. Okay, so I want you to get a picture of that. Not of the temple sitting over there in Israel. Because that sort of doesn't touch us. It's good. It's a good analogy. It's good to look back. God put it there so we'd have something to refer to. But that's what we're doing. We're making a comparison now between the things that are now and the things that Ezekiel saw. And so what I declare to you is this, to look at this thing not as the temple that was sitting there, but look at it as if you are the temple. You are the house. We are the house. And the Scripture says He went back to the door of the house. Now, I don't know whether you ever stopped to think about it or not, but I'll tell you what. The door of your house. What is the door of your house? If you are the house, what is the door? It's your mouth. I mean, you may see things, you may smell smells, but to get anything in and out of this house, there's the door. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. What's the threshold? That's the door plate. It's the bottom part of the door. Here is water coming out of the door. Remember what we said this morning? Jesus said, "Come to me and drink, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Out of our mouth should flow living water. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some times when there's some pretty stagnant, salty, putrid stuff that comes out of my mouth, and I had to repent for it. But when the water comes out, notice it says it goes toward the east. Now, if you've done any studying about the children of Israel and about when they were traveling through in the wilderness and when they would camp and they would set up the tabernacle and the tribes would take their rightful places, the tribe on the east of the temple, or the tabernacle it was then, or the house of God, the tribe on the east was the tribe of Judah. And what does Judah mean? Praise. And there was water, living water, life, flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, flowing in praise. The water that comes out of us should come through praise, and it will come through praise. That's the only good water that we're going to get out to the world. Toward the east, from the front, for the front of the temple faced east. Do you face east? Have we got our temple facing east? The world, what we see is praise? Or have we turned to the west and looking at the sunset and praise is at our back? We need to position ourselves where we are facing east all the time. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking. And then when we open our mouth, the word that comes out, the water that flows out, flows through praise. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. From under the right side of the temple. I read that right side, and what went through my mind, as opposed to the wrong side. Not necessarily the left side, right side, the right side instead of the wrong side. See, when the water's coming out the right side, it's good, fresh, and pure water. But you read over in James where it says, how can fresh water and salty water come out of the same opening? It comes out the right side of the temple, not the wrong side of the temple, south of the altar. The altar is where you meet with God. It's down from the altar. You've exalted God and you've exalted what Jesus has done above where you are, south. You know, we always talk about going south, that's going down. Of course, it may be going up, but in their mind, it's going down. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, as you look at that, it doesn't matter which gate you go out, you better end up on the east. If you have to go out the back door, you better come around to the east as quick as you can get there. And faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. There's that word again, on the right side, as opposed to the wrong side. On the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he's going east. He's going further east. He's going further east. Going deeper and deeper into Judah. Further and further into praise. He measured 1,000 cubits. So that's about 18 inches, foot and a half. About 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters. What's the waters? Waters are the stuff flowing out of the door of the temple to the east. Brought me to the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Immersing myself in God. Immersing myself in the praise of God. Immersing myself in the presence of God. I've made a 1,000 cubit trip out into praise. And I'm only in it up to my ankles. That's one of those. Thank you, Lord, for the food. Lord, I'm getting ready to go to sleep tonight. Thank you for keeping me during the night. Well, Lord, I'm getting ready to take a trip. Thank you that the angels are encamped around about me. But you're going to bless me and I'm not going to get run over. Ankle deep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it's good. It's good. Again, he measured 1,000 more cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. Wow, I'm up to my knees now. I can get down, sit down in the water, and it'll come up almost to my neck. As long as I just sit there, as long as I roll around in it, I can get wet all over with knee-deep water. I've even one time, I remember we were looking for a place up in Casey County when I was up there, different time than the one that we got the picture of out there. But we were looking for water to baptize in, and we got near there, and the creek was really low, and we found a place, and it was about knee-deep. And we baptized them. Now, I tell you what, that's a little difficult. Getting them down in the knee-deep water, but you know, they were pretty close to the bottom. I mean, they were going down, but we got it done. Knee-deep water. You know, you had a swimming pool out in the yard, a little around with knee-deep, hot day. You go out there and sit down, not do much. It'd be pretty comfortable. Pretty cool. Roll around, you know, in there. Now, if you got a little fellow like Brenton or Grant or Hunter, some little fellows, knee-deep water on you would just be wonderful for them, as long as they weren't afraid of it. So you get into knee-deep water and you can have a better experience. Well, you get a little further into praising God and you can have a better experience. You might even dance a little bit. You know, you might clap your hands, raise your hands every now and then. You know, you're really out there in that praise now. But that wasn't enough. There's a point that's being made here. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through it. The water came up to my waist. This is three stops. The ankles, the knees, at the waist. Three stops, three places. Now, I can remember when I was a boy growing up, there was a lot of waist-deep water holes in the creek. And that's where we played most of the time, was in them waist-deep water holes. That was just deep enough to keep you from drowning, but yet deep enough that you could practice swimming in it. Then every once in a while, we'd find a hole that was over our head or something like that, and we would practice in that hole what we'd learned in that waist-deep water. And that's how I learned to swim. That's how I learned to be around water and the aspects of water. And so he's come out here and he's up to his waist. And so that's a pretty good place. Most of your above ground swimming pools are not much more than waist deep on an adult. A tall adult. I mean, if you're 5'2", it's probably a little more than waist deep. But there's plenty of water. Plenty of water to have a lot of fun in. But when you get used to that, when you get used to it, and it's over the same thing, over the same thing, and though you have enjoyed it, there should be a desire for more. Something greater. Again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. It was a river that I could not cross. And what he's saying here, he doesn't mean that it was impossible to get across it. What he's saying, and if you want to put it this way, it was a river that I could not wade. I could not walk across. I lost my security. There was no place to put a foot down and know that I'm still in charge. I'm still the one that's in contact with the ground. I can remember times when I was getting a little bolder and everything. I can remember wading in water at the creek where we had to just put tiptoe like this to keep your nose out of it. And you, that was before I learned how to swim. But what he's saying here is that it begins at your ankles, and there's no limit to how deep you can get. And in the things of God, in the praise of God, and in the river that flows out of our mouth, that comes out of the threshold, there is no limit to how deep you can make that. You can create an ankle-deep river, you can create a knee-deep river, a waist-deep river, or you can praise God to the degree that it's a flowing river that nobody can walk across. And that it comes out and takes advantage and overwhelms everything in it. For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. One must swim. A river that could not be crossed. One must swim. You know, when you make that a comparison of things that we hear and things that we talk about, when you get that idea of swimming, you're running a risk. You're taking a chance. You're giving yourself to something. Swim with the dolphins. Tread water with the ducks. Or play in the mud with the turtles. All of it's a choice. All of it's a choice. And you know, how about our praise? How about the Word of God that comes out of our mouth? when it comes out of my threshold? Am I creating a river that's deep enough for people to swim in, or am I just getting them wet up to their ankles? I can get them wet to their ankles, but somebody else has got to come along and get them wet to their knees. And then somebody else comes along and gets them wet to their waist. And then somebody else comes along and you got to swim in what comes out of their mouth. And the praise of God. And that's where we want to get. We want to get to the point that when our mouths open, when the river of God flows out of us, that Jesus talked about there when he was talking about them coming out of your most being and flow rivers of living water, it needs to be a river that has to be swimmed. And the deeper it is in relationship to the amount of the Word of God that we have in our lives and the presence of God that we have in our lives. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Very many trees on one side and the other. Why? Because there was life in the water. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region. This water flows toward the eastern region. There that is. The eastern region. Coming through Judah again. Coming through praise again. This water flows toward the eastern region. Goes down into the valley. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the valleys that are waiting for a flood from God to come in on them. They don't even know they need it. And we open our mouth in praise and we open our mouth with the Word of God that comes out with positiveness and it goes down into the valley. You'll speak words to people that it's just like they're down in the valley and your words to them will be like that water flowing into the valley. You speak the Word of God to them. And sometimes you don't even have to speak it to them. You just speak it in their presence, in their hearing. You don't ever know somebody. You meet checking out Walmart and somebody standing behind you and the cashier says, well, how you doing today? Well, whatever you say. She says, or the cashier says, how you doing today? Well, by the grace of God, I'm making it. I am victorious. I'm having a wonderful day in the Lord. I'm blessed by God. And the person standing behind you is thinking, you know, I never thought of that. Maybe if I had that kind of attitude, my day would go better too. What's that? That's water going down in the valley. And enters the sea. The water comes out from under the temple, comes out of the door of the temple. It flows through praise on the eastern region. It goes down into the valleys and enters the sea. Now you go and you look up a lot of types and shadows. And one of the things that you'll find if you look and look extensively is that the idea of the sea represents humanity. It represents the people of the world. And so this water that comes out, this water that's gone through praise, this water that's come out of the temple, there's life in it, and it enters the sea. It enters the sea. It spills out on mankind, spills out on the people. When it reaches the sea, when it reaches the place where the people are, its waters are healed. When the life of God flows out of us through the words that we speak and the praise that we give, and it lands on the people of the world, it lands on the sea, it hits those seas, the people of humanity begin to get healed. You might not see it happen all at once. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It's a picture of the life that's in God's Word. Now this is an interesting thing right here, and I just want to throw this in as a little sidebar. Wherever the rivers go will live. You see that it says plural? In verse 9, wherever the rivers go will live. Literally, it says this. Wherever two rivers go will live. That's the literal. Wherever two rivers go will live. I read that and I just had a little bright flash in my mind. And I remembered another scripture where it says, and Jesus sent them out two by two in pairs, telling them, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. What was it? Two rivers. And when they came back, and I'm setting up a little bit for next Sunday morning too. When they came back, what were they doing? They were rejoicing because of all that they had seen happen. What caused it to happen? Them believing and receiving the word of Jesus, and then going out, spreading the water, spreading the word. And I thought, wow, here's a tie between the old practice of church evangelism, sending them out in teams, sending them out two at a time, or people going out two at a time. One thing, the rivers encourage one another when they do that. Everything will live wherever the river goes. Everything will live wherever the river goes. Wherever the Word of God flows, wherever the Spirit of life flows, wherever God's presence goes, everything, wherever the river goes, will live. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. What's he saying? People are people. People everywhere. You know, it's interesting that you can go to South America, you can go to Vietnam, you can go to China, you can go to the Philippines. You can go anywhere in the world and preach about Jesus. And you know, you don't have to convince any of those people or try to convince them that Jesus is one of them or one of us when it comes to the type of person. You realize that Jesus wasn't one of us? I mean, in the strict sense of the way we look at things, the only way he was one of us is that he was human. He didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. He didn't have fair skin. He didn't have slanted eyes, and I don't say that disrespectfully. He wasn't red or yellow, black or white. He was actually pretty brown, based upon the nature of ethnicities. And yet he declared that we are one with him. and he's one with us. And so that shows you how much God looks at people's skin or their language. I think there'd be people that'd be astounded if they realized that Jesus didn't speak English. Just never thought of it. I mean, they probably think he spoke these and thous and the original King James. And you look at all of those things, and basically, it's, you know, you go to Vietnam and you tell them about Jesus. It doesn't come up what he is. It doesn't come up whether he's Jewish. It doesn't come up if he's Oriental or Caucasian or Asian or European. It just doesn't come up. There's an appeal directly to the heart of the individual. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, you know, technically, we know he was of Jewish descent. In spite of what some of the people want to try to say, you know, that he really wasn't a Jew. Because, man, that's silly. He was a Jew. But he was a man. And you know, the nation of Israel didn't really exist because of its language and because of its ethnicity. It's hard physically, characteristically. Hair color, skin color. Like, it's hard to pick out people from that area of the country. Being Arab or Jew or whatever other nationalities and ethnic groups they have common physical characteristics. That's not what sets them apart. What set them apart? Being descendants of Abraham, being ones that were of the promise that God made with Abraham. And that's why when we get to the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that those who are of the faith of Abraham are the sons of Abraham. And God's not got any, he's not got any view of red or yellow, black or white, or tall or short. People are people. There's all kinds of fish in the sea. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed, for they will be given over to salt. You know what a swamp and a marsh is? It's a part of a waterway that has stopped flowing. It's a part of a waterway where the water goes in but doesn't come out. They should be given over to salt. The Dead Sea is that kind of thing. Along the bank of the river, on this side or that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine or for healing. Why? Because they're in the water that flows from the sanctuary. That's why we want that river of living water flowing out of us. There is a river. There is a river. It comes up from inside of us. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Where's it coming from? It's coming through us. Where'd the water come from? It was flowing out of that door. It wasn't being generated inside that building. It wasn't being generated inside. There was something supernatural pushing it through. And that's what we've got to depend on. that the water that flows from us, the life-giving water that comes out of our mouth, that the Word of God, it is in there and it comes out by supernatural means. And when your words come out and you understand them to be supernatural words, they'll do supernatural things. You know, if you lay hands on somebody and say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed," and you don't know whether you're what, you know, but if you lay hands and you say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed," and you know that there's supernatural power connected with that, you're not just talking the talk, but you are doing what the Word of God says. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's not your responsibility to see them recovered. It's your responsibility to lay hands on them and believe. It's the water that flows out of you, the supernatural source of water that's responsible for bringing the healing. Take some of the burden off yourself and just do what the Word of God says and leave the results to the water. Leave the results to the water. I mean, the water is either going to flow out of us or it's not. And every time we open our mouth for God, that water flows. And once it flows out, that water has the power to do what it's supposed to do. It brings the healing. Unless it lands in a marsh or a swamp. And you know that river flowing down through there, and there's some water, especially, you know, if the river's rising good because there's been a lot of rain, there's going to be some water that's going to splash over into those swamps and marshes. The river's going to go on. And for a while, those swamps and marshes might even pick up a little life in themselves. But as soon as that rain stops and that river gets back to the right level and the water's not flowing over into the marshes and the river, into the swamps anymore, it gets right back to the old thing. And I'm sure that every one of us could write a list and name swamps and marshes that we know of, that we've spilled water all over them, and while we're spilling water on them, they're just doing good. But as soon as we left, it's back to the old swamp and marsh stuff again. Why? Because they wouldn't become part of the river. You've got to become part of the river and let the river flow out of you. There is a river that comes from God. And where it goes, it brings life. And just like the scripture this morning, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." There was a little interesting footnote. It says, the Spirit... Let me read it to make sure I get it right. The Spirit without the bride does not issue the invitation. If God could save the world with us doing nothing, He would have never told us go. The bride, or the Spirit without the bride, does not issue the invitation. The bride without the Spirit cannot. And that's why putting us together with the Spirit of God produces that life-giving river that we got to open our mouths and let flow. Lord, just wash them away. Okay, I'll wash them away if you'll open your mouth and talk to them. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, help us to keep a picture, Lord, of ourselves as a source of that river. That You are flowing into us and through us and out of our mouths to the people around us and the people that we come in contact with. And Lord God, may the flow of our life, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Help us this week, Lord God, to be those rivers, to pour that water toward the east, to let it flow through praise and down through those valleys until it flows into the sea of humanity and changes their lives around them, Lord God. It's not what we do. It's what you do through us. It's what your word does. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. Thank you for being with us this week, encouraging us. In Jesus' name.